We need to do our part. So when you have a heart of God, then all of the word is true for you. When you have the word of God, all of the word is true for you. And you can go forward. All right, let's look at verse 12 again. All right, verse 11. Let's go back to 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry to me, I will not hearken to them. And then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods, unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. And the preachers that took bribes, they won't be able to save the masses of the people when they get in trouble. Same situation. They wouldn't listen to the God. They wouldn't listen to the Lord. The people wouldn't, and the pastors wouldn't. The ones that would. This so God's got a protocol, just like the men of Judah. All right, verse 13. For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense to Baal. And this is a shame. This is in Jeremiah's day. Judah had fallen. They're about to go into Babylonian captivity because they had fallen. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. There are times the Lord will tell you not to pray for people because those people turn their heart and they're not going to repent. And when the Lord say don't pray for a person, they're in trouble. Now, we're going somewhere with this. Listen to this. Verse 15. What hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from me? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. God can't take people like that away. He can't take them to heaven. The Lord has to have a protocol for this kind of debauchery. Verse 16. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and good and of goodly fruit, with the noise of a great tumult. He hath kindled a fire upon it, and the branches thereof, the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee has pronounced evil against thee. Verse 17. For the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal. And the Lord has given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showest me thy doings. You know, they set up, Jonathan Cahn showed us that they put an arch of Baal, what was it, in Washington and New York. The leaders of our country did. Evil. Okay, before Trump. Verse 19. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. And I knew not that they had devised evil, that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. They want to kill the man of God and the word that God gave him, which is his fruit, so that they could live. Verse 20, O Lord of hosts, that judges righteously, that tries the reins and the heart. You see that? Let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. God is judging the reins and hearts of people, and you have to respect that. He know what he's doing. The Lord said when the rapture come, not one mistake would be made. If he take those he took to heaven, he should have took them. Those he leave here, he should have left them. Verse 21. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, at the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that you die not by our hand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord that thou that you die by, not by our hand. Let me read verse 21 again. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. That's what they said to Jeremiah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons shall and their daughters shall die by famine. See, you can bring evil on your descendants by being evil to the men of God. And therefore, verse 23, and there shall be no remnant of them. Ooh, now that's terrible. A line is cut off. And there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. When the Lord would have come to visit them, they wouldn't even be there. This is terrible. The Lord has to have a protocol for evil, just like he has to have one for good. And he's going to do so because he's God. He's ready. And I don't ever want to know about the protocol he has in case I turn my heart, because I ain't turning my heart, and I don't want to know what happened, and I don't want to see it. I don't want to experience it. I want to know the Lord because I love him, and I know he loves me. I like to leave a broadcast giving people hope. I'm showing people what to watch out for, because all people don't always choose God's word. They don't always do the living thing. Sometimes they do dead things. And they do things that shouldn't be. And they live like they shouldn't live. The Lord said this to me. He said, they turn their shoulder because they turn their heart. You don't turn your shoulder first. You have to turn your heart before you turn your shoulder. And I told my cousin this, when people sin, they mean it. They're not playing. When people love God, they mean it, and they're not playing. When people love sin, they mean it, and they're not playing. They'll try to hide it. They might even act like they love God. But whatever it is, they mean it. And God's dealing with that. God deals with facts, folks. Whether you see him or not, he's dealing with facts. Always remember that. Because when the rapture happens, you know, the rapture happens just before the vow judgments. The vow judgments begin once the rapture takes place. Right after the rapture takes place, that's when God starts pouring out those vows of wrath. The wrath of man has already started. But every time a man or a woman come to the Lord, they change the dynamics of everything, because when people turn their heart to God, they're going to influence people. Now, this is a true fact. You're going to influence people whether you want to or not, whether you're trying to or not. But if you turn your heart to God, you're going to influence people positively. If you choose to stay in the world, you're going to influence people satanically. If you choose the worldly way, lust, pride, and greed, you're going to influence people satanically, even your own children. Whatever you love, that's going to be your influence. If you love God, you're going to influence people in a godly fashion. If you love the world somewhere, it's going to interfere with how you influence people in a godly fashion. If you have a love for God and a love for the world, your influence will become lukewarm. And because remember, light is not infectious. It exposes things for what they are. It gives people a chance to have clear vision. But darkness is infectious. So if you don't drive out the evil like they don't tell people to do on TV, you have to drive it away from you. You have to drive it out of your heart, out of your system, out of your habit system, and do the living things. That's the kind of responsibility we have to have as God's people. But they leave out those little details and bait people with blessings. And because so many people do that, it's easy to fall into a trap. You have to. When I listened to Kenneth Hagin, he used to warn people. Now, he was a man of faith that warned people, you'll go to hell for lying just like you'll go to hell for stealing. He said it flat-footed. I don't know if he was flat-footed or not, but he stood there with a vertebrae and spoke the truth. He gave people warning. You have to do that because people start bending the truth. And you can't lie in God's presence. It's very important. Hear the heart of God's word. God wants to save you, bless you. There's no reason to sin against anybody. If you receive the love of God, there's no reason to go back and sin, go back and forth playing with sin. Not that you want to. And now, don't be afraid of sin. But drive it away from you. Everything that's not of God, let it be out of your life forever. See, I used to pray, Lord, help me not sin. Help me not sin. Then I started taking authority. I hate the ways of darkness. That's our responsibility. God can't make you choose something you don't want to choose. He knew what I was wanting, and he helped me understand his protocol. He gave you grace. In grace, he gave you authority to speak. I hate the ways of darkness. I hate the will of man. I hate the will of Satan. You can say you hate it and it will be real. Now, Colossians 3. This kind of helps us out. I had it on, I was going to share Colossians 3 last week when I did Living Capabilities, or after I did Living Capabilities. But I never got to it. So we'll look at it today. Verse 1 says, if ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. See, there's trouble here. This is a fallen world. So seek things like they should be in the first place. If you go back and if you live like the example God gave us in the first place, one man, one woman that loves God, your whole life would be better. But now people saying they got commercials on TV with men and women with women and confusing our children to no end. But people that love God, they're not going to fall for that. People that know the Lord. I told my children, everything looks good from a certain point of view, but you have to go by the word of God. And you have to live it in order to see what God is saying. He says, set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You connected yourself to him. You were baptized in water, recognizing the fact that I'm like Jesus. I'm associated with him. That when they take you under and baptize you, it's just like Jesus died and rose again. I left the old man in the water and I got up a new man in Christ. When Christ, verse 4, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. We're with him in attitude. We're with him in conviction. We're with him in our character. Our character is with his. Our influence is from him. Our advice is of him. And not like Satan. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, or inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, whatever that is bad, so leave it alone, and covetousness, which is idolatry. In other, die to the things of evil. Mortify means kill. Die to the things that are dead. Don't let those things be alive in you. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, and they disobey by choice. Verse 7, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these things. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put it away. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. These are the things that we have to do. Why don't people preach this? Why do they always bait people with blessings? Not all TV preachers are bad. There are great ones on there. They love God and they do teach things that you need. Verse 11. See, God always got people that will obey him in every category. God always has, if he has to have a remnant of people that won't bow down to Baal and go out to filthiness. Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all those that love him. Put on the new man, verse 10, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's the way to be. Verse 11 again, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision. That means that don't matter where you were born, whether you were Jew or Gentile, barbarian, you could have been born on the islands where they were barbarous, Scythian, bond, free, you're in jail, or you free. Christ is all in all. As long as you appear in your heart, Christ is in you and he loves you. He died to save you. He's not concerned with what you did way back then. He's not concerned with your past. He's concerned, where are you now? Do you love God today? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to leave your evil out of your life? And do you receive the life that God is giving through Christ? That's the question. It's not where you come from. It's not whether your parents were married or not. Even if one of your parents committed adultery on somebody with your other parent, or both parents committed adultery and you became their child, that's irrelevant. They'll get punished for their sin, but God will bless you because you are, if you want to be his child. That's how it is. Everybody, you can be two married preachers that love God. Guess what their child will be? Born in sin. There'll be a baby sinner that's got to get saved. A child is born in the because of adultery, they're still a sinner that's got to get saved. And God recognizes their life and their salvation. When people commit adultery and have an abortion because they're trying to save face and they don't want people to know it, when that little child dies, that child goes to God, God gives them life, and the angels raise the child. And when the parents die and go to heaven, they'll see the child. Or if the parents go to hell because they wouldn't get saved, some of their kin folks are going to know the child. Not only child, but children. The parents don't always go to heaven, but the children, when they die, the Lord can salvage them, even though they're little sinners. Because a child's spirit is lit. Don't forget that. Okay, continuing. Verse 11 again. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. If Jesus forgave me, I'm going to forgive you and all the people that did me wrong. I say that sometimes because I mean it. It's very important to forgive. Don't go to hell over unforgiveness. Don't let anything wicked be in your heart. We owe man love, whether they do us good or bad. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which Also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's the way to be. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. See, that's how you stay out of trouble. You follow the peace. And you stay connected to the Lord. Peace is fellowship with God. Follow the peace. You can't go wrong then. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Don't be in pride about your success in Christ. Be thankful. Always keep it that way. Don't rejoice because you have a great authority over the enemy, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Don't rejoice because your preaching turned out good. Be thankful that it did, and let your rejoicing be to God who gave you that ability to bless people. We're blessed to be a blessing, not to show off like Satan. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Then he said this, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. See, a loving home is the best evangelistic tool. Then he said, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Very important. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Support them, help them, bless them, lest they be discouraged. Do things like Jesus would. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Be genuine. These are the things that attract the Holy Spirit. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That don't get preached on TV. I got to remember the last time I heard something like it. Hopefully it does. Verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. If people did this, they wouldn't have a problem winning souls. And people would be more apt to listen when they do attempt to win souls. If you just do these things that nobody wants to do, nobody in the world, and nobody with a worldly mind wants to do it. So they can't do it. A worldly mind can't serve God. Verse 24 again, knowing that that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's how we serve the Lord Christ, by being a blessing to others. Now watch verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. And that's where I don't want to cross the line. I don't fear crossing the line, but I don't want to. I don't want to do anybody wrong. That's my goal. You got to receive for the wrong which you did. And there's no respect of persons. And if you know you did wrong, repent. And you're going to have losses because of the laws of sowing and reaping. But your life can be spared and you can be raptured. And when people see that God loves you in the last few hours, that a crazy man, not you. I mean, if you was crazy and you knew it, and acted crazy and you know it, and you get saved and changed, and you start asking people for forgiveness and loving people and like you should have been doing all along, then people will say, well, if God can restore him, he can restore me. Very important. Sometimes that's just what it takes. A person that lived a raggedy life, hey, wait, they wake up and come to life. And it provokes people to righteousness. I like when that happens. So when you warn the right people then it puts things in a greater way. Preaching is effective because when the Lord told me my return is imminent, tell my people my return is imminent, be ready that they be not left. He sounded like he was ready to split the sky that day. He didn't say it like we had five more years. He said it like he was aggravated. I sat up in bed because the fear of the Lord was on me. It made me want to repent. I was repenting just in case. He sounded like he was aggravated with the whole thing. And he was ready to just come take his people out of here that was right with him at the moment. And that was just enough. He sounded like that was just enough grace to give him one more warning. I thank God for what he's doing. And if you think his return was imminent then, his return is imminent now. Remember, just before I did this broadcast, he said the vile judgments, it begins right after the rapture. He's going to move his people. Verse 15, show his people in heaven. They're singing the song of Moses and the song of Jesus, which means they are the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. You have to watch now. You have to pay attention. They're singing the song of Moses and the song of Jesus. When the Lord returns, it's going to be when the vow judgment starts, that's when it's going to get real interesting. Now, God gave us fair warning. The enemy has done a lot of damage. Some things don't seem to have come to pass yet. But remember something. Everything that Satan's trying to do, we can hinder him. Because Paul said, he that now letteth will let. And there are people who don't let Satan do stuff. And it was written that way so we could stop his works. I want to drive him out of business. You know, I want so many of the people to get saved that he can't raise his head good. See, the Antichrist is under our feet. We don't have to let him arise. But he's alive. He's trying to come up. He's trying to do stuff, but that don't mean he'll get a chance to do everything he want to do because he's under our feet. The Lord told me in this spot I'm standing in, he said, I'm not moving you out of his way. I'm moving you out of my way. When God get ready to judge, he's going to take. That's what Pastor Lankford believed, and I believe he was right. See, I was taught a certain way. And the way I was taught is I found a few holes in the way I was taught. But I started asking questions. When Irvin Baxter was alive, I started seeking the Lord about. I saw some things he said that was wise, some things that Pastor Lankford, pastor to Steve Quayle. If you listen to him, you'll see what I'm talking about. I believe they're right on a lot of things. So I started asking the Lord questions. And I suggest that you do the same thing. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory. Stay in covenant. And remember, the Lord said, my return is imminent. Be ready. Tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. I believe you won't be left. I believe you'll be taken. And encourage all to love God.